It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. KMTS Connections connects you to everything that matters in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show, Soper's Theater Company time again.
Yay.
Brad Moore directs Hope and Gravity this month. I love the poster. It's sideways. Like, is that supposed to be a fill-in-the-blank town, or is that?
Yeah, it's a cityscape.
Okay. But not one in particular.
Not one in particular.
Reminds me of the, what was the movie years ago? Was it Leonardo DiCaprio, where it was a dream inside a dream inside a dream?
Inception.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, exactly, Inception. So, by the way, James Steindler, Rigo Perez, Stella von Diedenroth. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And Boston Elswick also here will be visiting with. So what's Hope and Gravity? Tell us the story. Is this a new play? Has it been around for a while?
Interestingly enough, it's both. How about that? It has been.
Thanks, Brad. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going home now. I'll talk to you soon. Come see the show. It has been in workshop form for many years, and actually, two Colorado organizations were part of the development of the piece. One was Creed Repertory Theater, and one was the Aspen Fringe Festival. And
so what does workshop form mean?
Well, it means that...
I mean, you're either performing the play or you're not performing the play. I mean...
Yes, and it also... there's my improv bit.
So
yes,
that's how it's going to go.
Yeah, that's how it's going to go. So just, sit back and listen to me talk. Anyway, the workshop form can take a couple of different variations. When we did it at the Aspen Fringe Festival, it was done with some very simple staging and scripts on music stands, and it was read. Everybody still had a script in their hands. Michael Hollinger, the playwright, was actually watching that, was able to make some notes and possibly make some changes. I don't know exactly how it was done at Creed, but Michael's very clear about not ever wanting to do a show without having had several productions. He doesn't want to publish a show until several productions have happened. So they really start to develop the piece.
I almost feel like this is like when a writer has written a screenplay and is there on the set at like a TV show or a movie or something like that, and they're saying, you know what, that doesn't really work, so let's change some things.
It's very similar. Okay. It's very similar, okay. Yeah. And so anyway, this play actually, I talked to Michael probably 2 years ago, and when it first came to the Aspen Fringe Festival, which is I think 2012, I talked to him about the piece and told him that I thought it was really fun, and that I had some ideas of places that we might go with that. And I got in touch with him a couple of years ago and asked him where we were with the whole process. And he said, well, as a matter of fact, we're doing one final workshop production, and it's going to be published very soon. So we're one of the first companies to do the actual published version of this, although, again, it's been done around in several different productions in the past.
So what's the storyline?
The storyline, it's very confusing. It's very interesting. It's a comedy that revolves around a tragic event, basically. Mm-hmm. Here's what the licensing organization says about the play. And I brought this only because it can be a little confusing. So Here's what they describe. When an elevator falls in a major city, nine lives intersect in surprising ways, both comic and tragic. Through love and sex, poetry and dentistry, in offices, homes, and hotel rooms, Jill longs for Steve, who's engaged to Barb, who hooks up with Peter, who's already having an affair with Nan, who's married to Marty, who subscribes to Elevator World. Meanwhile, nine stories off the ground, Douglas meets Tanya, who's hoping to get pregnant with Hal, and a little miracle changes hands. By turns hilarious and profound, Hope and Gravity traces the barely perceivable threads that connect us all.
Sounds like reality for millennials to me.
It really is. And that's why it takes
I'm sorry.
Place.
With, of course, you know, all due respect.
It takes place in an urban environment, and it's the intersection of these nine lives and how they all somehow come together or are connected in some way, sometimes very transparently, and sometimes they don't have a clue.
So let's start with James.
Let's start with James because, I mean, all good things start with James. That's what he says in his bio anyway.
It's true.
Did you really say that in your bio?
No, I didn't. I don't think so.
You should have.
Not that I recall.
I would have put that.
Not that I recall. Is that what you said? Not that I recall, Senator. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
Typically.
I want to be a politician one day.
Okay. Next.
Moving right along. So, James, what's your character's name?
My character's name is Steve.
Now, the interesting thing, if I might interject, the interesting thing is that...
Okay, so Jill longs for you.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know that until later on in the play.
Yeah.
But you're engaged to Barb.
I am engaged to Barb, and that proposal does happen in the play, yes.
Yeah. Interesting. And Jill and Steve are actually roommates. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I want to mention about Steve is that the actors in the script are actually... Actor 1, Actor 2, Actor 3, Actor 4, and Actor 5. Wait a minute. What? 9 characters, 5 actors. Oh, my goodness gracious. So James is the only actor in the play that only plays one character. Everybody else plays 2 characters. So
and it's actually written that way.
It's written that way. So Jill and Barb are played by the same actress.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that makes it a lot less complicated for you, right?
Yes. Same actor, 2 different characters, it's love interests.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, you guys obviously heard Brad reading the description, mm-hmm. right? The story, the one paragraph synopsis.
Right.
Can you keep track of all that?
It takes a little while, and you catch something, a connection, every time you read through the script. But, yeah, and the play is also, and I don't know if we cover this, but it's also written out of order chronologically. The opening scene happens chronologically in the play. It would happen at a different point.
It's actually scene 6. Scene 6 is the opening scene of the play.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's purposefully out of order.
Mm-hmm.
Just like our lives are out of order.
Right.
We talk a lot in the play about things being random. And so it's a very interesting way of putting this whole storyline together. So as we start to put the pieces together, some of the events that really are key to the certain aspects of the play happen at times where then we look back on it and go, oh, that's what happened.
Okay. So what would the opposite of foreshadowing be?
Hindsight?
Yeah, right. There
Maybe.
You go.
Yeah,
right. Okay. Wow.
Answer your question a little bit more, it was difficult in the beginning of rehearsals. It was hard to keep track of whose name you were supposed to say. And so when I was talking to Jill, sometimes I would refer to her as Barb because it is the same actress playing both Jill and Barb. So it does get a little bit tricky, I suppose.
You know what's really interesting, though, is that now that they've really settled in, and like at last night's rehearsal, everybody just landed so clearly in these wonderful, distinct characters that it's not an issue anymore because you really get who you're talking to right. because mm-hmm. everybody has come up with these distinctions between the characters, even though there are a lot of similarities between the characters, and that's why he has coupled these portrayals by similar actors. You know, in other words, there's a real specific reason
mm-hmm.
that Marty and Douglas are played by the same person. There's a lot of similarities, but there's also the opposites. Mm-hmm.
You know what is also really interesting? You just gave me the cast list, and I don't see Rigo's name on it.
Rigo is not an actor.
I am not an actor.
Nor is Stella.
Interesting.
They're here to talk about trying to keep lives above ground as stage managers.
Well, I was going to say, when you're talking about what happens in what scene, you notice that Stella's the one that jumped right in there and said that actually happens in scene six.
Yeah, because that's kind of the stage manager's job.
Yeah, is
right.
To know
She's
all
the
those
stage
things.
Manager. Rigo's the assistant stage manager, and both of them, incidentally, if I may, you know. Give them praise, which of course I would never do in person. So you guys,
we know
your
by heart.
You guys just cover your ears.
No, they're doing a fabulous job. It's not an easy thing to keep track of. I don't think it will be as difficult for the audience because of the work that we're doing now. Mm. I mean, you know, there will be moments where they're going, "Wait a minute! I get it now." But and like all good theater, hopefully they will have long conversations afterwards. Of, oh, and this is how that happened. Right. And, you know, when we were talking about the show Inception, I mean, it gets you to talk.
Right. And it's funny that you would say that. You know, we always say from a production standpoint about sound and lights, if it's done right, you don't even notice it. It just happens, right? And I guess what you're saying is absolutely right. Behind the scenes, you know, stage managers and acting, if it's done right, you just don't notice, and you just kind of follow along with the story and get all caught up in it. Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Again, you can see Hope and Gravity at the you still call it the New Space Theater?
We do. Do you want to destroy that, or you don't really care?
No, I know, because it is the new space.
It's the new space.
They built it 20 years ago.
Yeah, it opened 21 years ago.
But it's still the newest
new
space they have.
Because the other theater was the space theater, so this is the new space theater. I mean, I think, you know, the idea is that, you know, 20 years ago, oh, surely somebody will come and give bazillions of dollars to put their name on this theater. Yeah, so it's the new space. So Mr. New Space gave money to...
Fair enough. Again, the show is Hope and Gravity. I would call this a local show, a Colorado show anyway, which kind of had its beginnings in Creed and in Aspen.
Well, among others. I mean, you know, Michael actually is on the faculty at Villanova in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
So,
wow.
But he has come out here. He and Lon Winston know each other very well. Lon Winston from Thunder River Theater Company, and that's how I first met Michael. And because Lon also was at Villanova, but anyway, so it's I mean, it has some Colorado roots, but it also is something from outside the state as well. But we're really excited to do it. It's a fun piece.
Again, you can see it on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So the Sundays are the matinees. Friday and Saturdays are the evening shows at 7 o'clock, October 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th. Those are the Fridays and Saturdays, or Sunday, October 20th, or the 27th at 2 o'clock. Doors 30 minutes before showtime?
Yeah, the box office opens 30 minutes beforehand. Doors open about 20 minutes beforehand.
Okay. $18 for most of us, $13 for students, seniors, CMC faculty, and staff. Call 947-8177 to reserve your tickets. You can always buy them on eventbrite.com as well. Seems to work out for you pretty well over the last two or three years.
It really has, yeah.
And we'll take a quick break, do a little musical chairs, and talk a little bit more about Hope and Gravity in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon we're talking about the Sopris Theater Company production of Hope and Gravity by Michael Hollinger from Villanova. Again, tried out in a couple different theaters in Colorado, including the Aspen Fringe Festival and in Creed as well. So we did a little musical chairs. Stella von Dietenroth, I just want to continue saying that because, you know, I figure you get it right the first time.
Practice.
Exactly. So you're the stage manager, and Rigo Perez is the assistant stage manager.
Correct.
And then Boston Elswick plays, again, everybody plays, well, most people in this show play two different roles. So Boston is Tanya and Nan. So if you remember that from the description of the show, Peter is having an affair with Nan, and Tanya has a little something going on with Douglas, right?
You're close. So let's say Tanya and Douglas get stuck in an elevator together.
Okay.
But Tanya is happily married to Hal, and they're trying to have a baby throughout the show. So that's how that works out.
So when Brad was saying that some of the characters have a lot of similarities but also are very different, explain how Tanya and Nan are similar and different.
Well, I feel like both of them, as far as similarities go, they're both really strong female characters. They have interesting relationships with their husbands, both, I think. Nan is obviously having an affair, and Tanya, well, her husband is just a little bit out there. But I think they're both really good people at heart. They have good intentions, and they're fun characters to play. Obviously, differences. I think that Tanya is, she's a little bit more free-spirited. We talked about a lot of, like, character development stuff in the early rehearsals. She's also kind of out there, I guess. Otherwise, I don't know how her and her wacko husband would have ended up together. But Nan is very straightforward by the book, kind of no nonsense. So,
well, sometimes opposites attract, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Interesting. So you actually spent some time talking and thinking about what the, if you will, the cliche, the backstory was.
Yeah, definitely. I think it just really makes it much easier to act and find a personal connection with these characters if you try to envision them as real people and figure out their lives and where they've been and where they're going.
And does that help you also do something maybe different than how you would normally react in a situation, right?
Yes.
Because you're not supposed to be playing yourself, right? You're supposed to be playing somebody else.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes Brad will bring that up. He'll be like, well, I don't know how Boston would do this, but let's think about how Nan will do this or how Tanya will do this. And that takes some practice trying to get out of your own instincts and into somebody else's.
Interesting. So how big a role do the people behind the scenes play for you trying to execute these roles?
Well, they play a huge role. They're just really helpful and always there. I know this week is Tech Week, so they've been working really hard trying to get down all of the scene transitions and lights, sounds, just like all of the technical stuff. But
we noticed Stella already has the order memorized because she remembered what scene, you know, the first chronological thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that's pretty good so far.
Yeah, yeah, they're really great. They've read the script just as much or even more than any of the actors
have. I could
probably
play Tanya now if I read the script so many times, give my notes, I could just
because
jump
the
up there and ready.
Yes, yeah.
So when you guys signed up for theater classes, were you hoping to be behind the scenes, do production? Were you hoping to act?
A little bit of both. Personally, I've stage managed a lot in the past couple years, and so I feel more comfortable stage managing, but I really also enjoy acting. So both of them are something I really enjoy, and I just like being a part of the production either way.
I feel like one gives you a perspective on the other?
Yeah, most definitely. Okay. As an actor and stage manager, I have a lot of respect for both acting and everybody included in technical theater.
It reminds me when the short year I worked in retail, started out working graveyards, right,
mm-hmm.
and stocking.
Yeah.
And then I worked during the day. It kind of gave me a little more respect for the people that worked at night and what they did and why they did things the way they did rather than the way all the rest of us during the day wanted them to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same kind of thing. A lot of actors feel like it's a slight if they're on the crew. You know what I mean? If they don't actually get to act in a show.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you don't feel that way at all.
No, not at all.
I mean, for me.
What, Rigo?
I don't know. I kind of want to be on the show because it's very cool. But also, I do enjoy being backstage as well. The cool thing with CMC is they actually give me opportunities to be on crew, sound, light, any position possible. Especially, I'm really excited to be assistant stage manager because I've never done it before. But, you know, in my heart, I still wish I could have played, you know, Steve or Peter or Tanya, you know. But I do enjoy being back and being an assistant as well.
Is it how many shows have you the three of you done so far at CMC?
This is my first show at CMC.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Have you you're not a freshman in college.
I am.
Are
a
you
freshman,
really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So going back before that in high school, that kind of thing?
Yeah. I went to a performing arts high school actually.
Oh.
So
good for you.
Yeah, thank you. It was fun. That was all of high school was doing.
So all of high school for you really was High School Musical.
Yeah. No, people would break into song and dance. It was exactly what you thought it was.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds really fun. Go ahead. Finish answering the question.
I actually had an internship at Creed Repertory Theater for the past summer as a stage manager and directing apprentice.
So this is probably not your first time experiencing Hope and Gravity.
It actually is, but when we were reading through it and I saw that it was probably a part of the Headwaters New Play Festival at Creed Repertory Theater, and I saw that my old boss's name was in it, and I texted her. I was like, wow, guess what show we're doing? So that was cool.
That is
to
cool.
Be able to make that connection.
Awesome. So, Rigo, what about you?
So,
what's your career been like so far?
I used to be a dancer with the Aspen Center for Ballet Folklorico for 8 years, so I've been on stage a lot. But
okay, well, I would say that would give you the if I had that kind of experience, I would expect to be on stage too.
I mean, yeah, no, but with CMC though, I haven't really been on stage, but more back. I've been soundboard operator for the past two shows for the Nerd and the Ladies of Camillus.
That's where the rubber meets the road, anyway.
Yeah, and this is the first time I actually get to be assistant stage manager, so I'm enjoying learning new things and being edumacated and whatnot.
He's doing a good job.
Edumacated. That sounds like something Brad would say. What's that, Brad?
Ask him what he did this summer.
What did you do over the summer?
Oh, I played Romeo in Romeo and Juliet for the Hudson Reed Ensemble for Shakespeare in the Park. So I still do acting on the side as well.
Wow.
So I'm always involved in theater one way or another.
Again, that's pretty impressive. So do you feel like it's a humbling or a great learning experience? How would you describe this opportunity to be the assistant stage manager?
I would say more of a learning experience.
Okay.
I always tell myself I want to be involved in theater, either if it's on stage or backstage or even just sitting in the audience, just because it's something I love to do. And then once I get to experience all aspects of it, I get a fully new understanding of what theater really is.
Gotcha.
He's pretty good at letting me boss him around.
That's actually exactly what I was going to say. What is the difference between at CMC? I mean, obviously you don't have a staff of 30 people that you're managing, right? But what, I mean, are there differences in what the two of you do?
Yeah, okay. There are huge differences. Assistant stage manager and stage manager are totally different jobs. I do kind of more by the books type of thing, so make sure that everything's running smoothly, and he does everything backstage with scenic design and making sure everything moves from one place to another, and being on book so the actors can call line and stuff like that. But really organizing and keeping backstage working.
So it would be really similar to an A1 and an A2.
Exactly, yeah.
It's audio one, audio two.
Yeah.
So the audio one guy is the guy that's actually controlling the sound, while the A2 is the one that's actually on stage and giving people microphones and changing batteries. And, you know, we have other terms for those people, but we're not going to mention them on the air because, you know, we might get kicked off.
I also like to think that I'm Stella's support pet because sometimes she stresses out way more than she does.
That's a very politically correct way of putting it.
Yeah. He's like, chill. And I'm like, if you tell me to chill, I'm not going to chill, Rigo.
And so, Boston, what about you? Where did you come from? How did you find your way to CMC Theater?
So this is also my first show with the Soapers Theater Company. I've done work throughout the Valley for, like, the past 5 years, I'd say. Same as Stella. Well, not same as Stella. I went to a very not performing arts school. But I took every opportunity I had to be in the musicals and the plays and stuff. So that's where I first started and really found a love for theater.
But the three of you guys, from here, not from here?
I'm originally from Colorado, but my school was out in L.A.
Okay. All right.
I'm a Valley boy, born in Aspen, raised in Basalt, so I'm here in the Valley.
Okay. What about you, Boston?
Yeah, I live in Newcastle, and I went to a Coleridge High School down there.
Okay, Coleridge. Okay. So one of the first, the first 10 or so graduating classes then from Coleridge.
Yes. Right. I graduated in 2018, so.
Okay. So last year.
Yes, last year.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
What did you say? A very not
performing arts. Well, to put it in perspective, my high school was quite literally in a cow pasture, and it's just kind of out there on Highway 6, and we had very little funding for the arts. We didn't really have a theater program.
Well, and there is no theater at Coleridge either.
Exactly. There's no theater. So we would actually go and perform in the cafetorium at the middle school just down the road. Even still, it was a really fun experience, and it was really cool to kind of be a part of the pioneering of that, just because I think my freshman year was an eighth grader, but was the first time they had ever done a musical there. So it was a pretty new program.
How was that, being in high school and then going back to the middle school to perform? Was it a little bit trippy?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I remember we would be doing dress rehearsals and stuff, and I would see like my little fifth grade sister, and she was like, "Hey, what are you doing at my school?" I'm like, "I don't know."
You know? Still trying to find that.
Yeah. So, but it was fun nonetheless. So, I made the most out of that. And then after I graduated, I started doing some more shows just throughout the Valley. I worked with Defiance Community Players.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and worked at the Vaudeville for a season doing a musical there. So, but yeah, I'm really excited to add the Soper's Theater Company to my list here. It's been really fun. Yeah.
You think at some point in the future that you and Rigo might switch spots? You'll be the assistant stage manager, and maybe he'll be on stage.
Yeah, definitely.
If he gets his way, I would. Yeah.
No, I would really like that. I don't have really like any experience doing technical theater. I've always just been on stage, so I definitely would like to experience that as well. And
kind of a full-rounded
experience. For sure. So gotcha. Yeah, maybe the last show of Hope and Gravity, he can go play Tanya and I'll do his job.
That'll be my dream.
Hope and Gravity is the name of the show, the Soper's Theater Company production, directed by Brad Moore. Again, it's Friday and Saturday, October 18th and 19th, 25th and 26th at 7 o'clock. October 20th and 27th, matinees at 2 o'clock. Box office opens 30 minutes before showtime. You can get tickets in advance at eventbrite.com. You can always call to reserve tickets, 947-8177. We'll take a quick break and some final thoughts from Brad and James in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking about Hope and Gravity, the Soper's Theater Company production. So, we've got the actors. We'd switch places again. Focus a little bit more on the actors, on James and Boston this time. You know, it's always so interesting, just the dance, if you will, between the actors and the backstage and how it all comes together. How many hours do you spend with Brad to rehearse this show on a weekly basis? I'm talking class time and on stage.
Well, technically rehearsals are 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, Sunday through Thursday night.
Starting when?
Starting 6:30, going to 9:30.
No, but I mean how far out? How many weeks do you do that?
It's generally 6 weeks of rehearsals, yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of time.
That is a lot of time.
And yet you're still probably going to come back next semester.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to say you've got another show to do this year, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, we open. In fact, we start rehearsals in just a few days for The Veil. That'll be directed by Tom Cochran. And there's not a huge crossover of casts this time. The only real crossover is that Josh Adamson, who is an actor in Hope and Gravity, is stage managing The Veil. But,
interesting.
Yeah, we we won't even have closed the show before we're already in rehearsals for the next.
The two of you don't really interface much on stage, it doesn't seem like, right?
No. I don't think ever.
We have one. We have a short connection or and one scene, Small World, where I am myself or Steve and Jill are buying Nan and Marty's home.
Yes.
And I shortly am on stage with Nan at that point.
Yeah.
Or Boston.
In both.
Wait, does that make it even more confusing? So not only are you trying to remember character names, but you're also, you have two character names mm-hmm. plus real names to remember during all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always want to call him Steve. he's Steve to me. But I'm like, James, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
But in the context of the show, that's actually a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, I've heard, even on TV, I hear people do that just because, I don't know if you would call it method acting or what, but I hear that frequently. Mm-hmm. So, James, we heard everybody else's real life backstory. Are you also a local kid? Did you come from somewhere else?
I am. I actually graduated from Coleridge High School as well.
Oh,
I was
okay.
part of the first graduating class in 2008. And I... went to Fort Lewis College originally, not for theater, and then I worked for the Public Defender for about 5 years after that.
That's cool.
I always wanted to go into theater, so I left that position.
So does that make you a non-trad?
Non-traditional?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm definitely a non-traditional student.
So that's what college kids call the older students, if you will. They're
right.
The non-trads, the
yes.
non-traditional students.
I am one
of
those.
And everything about his personality
students.
Is sort of non-traditional, too.
It's
so
true.
Just saying. It fits.
Is that pretty accurate, Boston?
I won't say anything. It's going to get me into trouble.
All right, fair enough. Is it kind of cool, though, working on stage with somebody else that graduated from your high school?
Yeah, I actually just now found that out.
Yeah, the look on your face when he said that, I thought it was really fun. Yeah, like, what?
Oh, that's
I
funny.
Didn't know. Yeah, that's super cool. Yeah, that's
you guys
really
will
awesome.
Have to talk later and see if you had any of the same teachers and that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
That's bringing people together. It's what we do.
Connections.
Yes.
That's what this play is
exactly.
about. Exactly. You know, different connections.
That actually is what this show is about, isn't it?
It is.
Yes.
I did not put that together. So I guess we're even now. What do you guys, you have any other final thoughts, comments for anybody that might be considering coming to see the show?
Yeah. I think if you are on the fence, you should just come see it anyways, just because it's always great to experience live theater. But this show, I think, is really fun, and it speaks to a large variety of people, like younger audiences, older audiences. It's just a really great show, and hopefully it'll leave you thinking and talking, like Brad said earlier. So,
what about you, James?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's definitely a funny show. It will make you laugh. It'll also make you think. There is it's definitely some interesting themes in the play, and that I think people will definitely relate to. I would encourage people to even come twice if they can, just because it is like a puzzle, and you'll put things together. Seeing it a second time.
Definitely.
Something I just now thought of course, I always have these epiphanies at the end of the interview, right? Since you're playing two characters, Boston, and since so much of the cast plays two characters, mm-hmm. how about costume changes? Does that mean that you're going back and forth throughout the show doing the okay?
Yes, definitely. So,
is that why you need an assistant stage manager, is to help everybody get in and out?
We actually have a dresser.
We do have a dresser. It's not Rigo, but we wouldn't want him changing us. But
I mean, no offense, of course.
No offense.
He's wearing the costumes backstage, so he's kind of more like a coat hanger.
Yeah.
Warming
it up. But
human coat hanger.
Yes. No, costuming is fairly simple, just because we were actually talking about it last night. Basically, what costume you're in is kind of a direct signal for the audience of what character you are at that point in time. So two costumes for two characters, but yeah, it's a lot of going back and forth.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Brad, any final thoughts from you?
We have not really talked about the rest of the cast, so I just wanted to very quickly mention the cast. So Mike Banks is playing, well, actually Actor One is what it's called in the script. He's Marty and Douglas, so he's really fun. A lot of people have seen Mike on stage with us in the past, and other organizations as well. Josh Adamson is playing Actor Two, who is Peter Howell role, which is just fun. You're in for a treat if for no other reason than just to get in a good belly laugh. Speaking of bellies, we won't go any further. Anyway, but you got to come see Josh. He's wired. No, we can't go there. Okay, so spoiler alert. Like, you could have a spoiler alert on a show like this because the end scene happens before the end. Whatever.
What scene is the end scene, by the way, Stella?
Scene 3,
okay?
Yeah.
There you go. So that's actually very early in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, and then, of course, Boston plays Actor 3, which is the Tanya Nan role, and James is Steve, which is Actor 4, and then Christina Capelli, who has done a couple of shows with us and also a couple of shows with Defiance. Anyway, she plays Actor 5, so she plays the Jill Barb role. So it's a wonderful cast. It's a great crew, and it's a lot of fun. And I agree with what everybody's saying here about it is a puzzle, and it's a fun puzzle, and I think that seeing it more than once might be a way to go. But I sort of anticipate this sort of fun opportunity at intermission and right after the show for the audience to be sharing notes and talking about things. And, oh, did you pick up on – oh, yeah. But then, oh, that's so cool. I mean, I really think that it's going to be one of those shows that at first people are going, what? But by the end, they're – wrapped up in it and excited about it and feel like they're part of the solution to the puzzle.
I always forget to ask about ratings. But like, if you were to rate this as a movie, what would you guys rate it?
Probably like a PG-13 or so.
So it's not too bad.
No.
There are a couple of words that some people wouldn't like to have said at the dinner table.
So strong language.
But very, very briefly, and not a lot of it. You know, I mean, okay. Some shows we do, it's like, okay, is there any other word you could use? not this. I mean, I think there are some adult themes. Well, not really.
Suggested.
Things are suggested. There's nothing that would be, you know, horrific. Okay. No. You know, we do get to see a little bit of Josh's stomach, but you know, that's just funny. Yep.
So Brad, Boston, you both say PG-13. James, would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. Stella, Rigo. Okay. So it's unanimous from the cast and crew, PG-13. So take that into account if you want to bring the kids. Again, it is $18 general admission, $13 students, seniors, CMC faculty and staff. Hope and Gravity, the Sopris Theater Company production, directed by Brad Moore. Friday and Saturday, October 19th, or I'm sorry, 18th and 19th, 25th, 26th, and then Sunday, October 20th and 27th are the matinees at 2 o'clock. Thank you so much for taking out Thursday, because that used to confuse me so much. So I really appreciate that.
Wait for the next show.
Again, you can get tickets on Eventbrite, and you can also call 947-8177. All right, I know I made you guys late. I'm so sorry. I will write your professor a note if I need to. I'm sure it'll carry a lot of weight. All the best. Break a leg.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.